had, John 13, 34 and 35, where we read, and I'm reading, I'll be using the New International Version, but it's very close to the same. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. This is seemingly a simple command, but it's not easy, always easy to understand how we can love others. And the love used in this verse is agape, God-like, unconditional love. And it's not always easy to obey this command, is it? In fact, yesterday at our men's conference, which was very good, by the way, thanks to Eric for all of his time and effort in that. And thanks to Eric and Richard, Lodge, Tom, and Ed for their leading our breakout sessions and all who helped cook. It was really a great time. But one of the sessions, led by Ed Balzer, was about love, the love that Christ commanded, both what it is and what it is not. And we could take time to look into this, but John Thompson actually brought us a couple of messages about this recently, and I won't go into that. But instead I want to look at Philemon, which is an example of love in action. Philemon is Paul's very personal letter to Philemon, and it has several examples of love in action. This is not an obscure book, as we might regard it. In fact, if you haven't found it yet, it's usually one page long, just before the book of Hebrews. You might turn there. But there's a reason for every part of the Bible being in five. And this morning we want to look at Philemon and see what some of those reasons are. A little background about Philemon. The book of Philemon is a letter written by Paul about the same time that he wrote the Colossians and the Ephesians. This is about 60 or 61 A.D. It's written from Rome during his first imprisonment when he was under house arrest. And this was written a few years after the book of Acts had closed. Remember, the book of Acts, Paul was on his way to Rome. But in Acts 19, we read of Paul's third missionary journey, where he spent more than 2 years in Ephesus. Now, Colossae is also in Asia Minor, about 100 miles to the east of Ephesus, inland. And Philemon resides in Colossae. And also the book of Colossians, of course, is written to those people as well. Paul had probably come to know Philemon during this time. He spent an Ephesus 2 years or so he was there, because he obviously knows him well. And this was about 57 A.D., so three to five years before he writes this letter. And this letter is apparently sent to Philemon, along with Paul's letters that we now know as Colossians and Ephesians. The letters were carried by Tychicus and Onesimus. And you can find a record of that in both Ephesians and Colossians. And both of these gentlemen are from Syria. There are a couple of unique characteristics about this letter, Philemon. It's the shortest of all of Paul's letters. Number two, it was written by him in his own handwriting, the entirety. And number three, it's the only truly personal letter, but non-pastoral, from Paul in the Bible. So as we look at that, let me introduce the cast of characters. First of all, we have Paul, well-known apostle and author. We have Philemon, who is the recipient of the letter. He's a resident of Colossae, apparently a fairly wealthy man. He has a large house, he has slaves, he has a guest room, and he's a church leader. Interestingly enough, slave ownership was common in the Roman Empire, and there were apparently several in the Colossian church who owned slaves, because Paul writes in Colossians 4:1, "Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know you also have a master in heaven." Philemon is the recipient of the letter. Onesimus, another character. That's actually who the letter's about. The name means useful, but he's a runaway slave. He was a runaway slave of Philemon. And somehow he got to Rome. Somehow he connected with Paul. And now he's back to Colossae with Tychicus. This is his letter. Now, Tychicus, not mentioned in the book of Philemon, but we know from Colossians 4:7 to 9 that he came accompanying Onesimus, which is probably a wise thing to do. Onesimus was a runaway slave. There were men who made their living capturing runaway slaves, turning them back over to the owner. So it's wise thing that he says it's not trying to come from himself. Now Paul is sending the two of them to give. In Colossians 4, 7 through 9, we read, Tychicus will tell you of all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances, and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful dear brother, who was one of you. They will tell you everything that has happened to me. Now those that knew Onesimus, when he left, he was either faithful nor was he a dear brother, but things have changed, huh? Tychicus is referred to in a number of Paul's other writings. Besides Ephesians and Colossians, he's referred to in Acts 24 as written by Luke, but he was accompanying Paul in Macedonia, where it says that he was from the province of Asia. And two or three years later, Paul writes in Titus 3:12 that he is sending Titus, or he's sending Tychicus to Titus there on Crete. And then later, 5 years later, he writes in 2 Timothy, the last book that Paul wrote at the end of his life. He mentions that he sent Tychicus to Ephesus. So Tychicus is a long-term ministry partner for Paul. Been with him a long time. This is a period of more than 10 years. And so he's an important character, although his name is not mentioned. So let's turn to Philemon. I see you there. I'm going to read all 25 verses from the New International Version just to get the story. Paul, a prisoner of Christ, and Timothy, our brother. To Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets at home. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, Philemon, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing the faith, so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains to the gospel, but I did not want to do anything without your consent. So any favor you do will be spontaneous and not forced. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, your brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother of the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this in my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention any that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that you may have some benefit, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart, trust, confidence of your obedience. I write to you even more than I am. And one thing more, prepare a guest for me, because I hope to be restored to you and answer to your prayer. Here we go, closing. So just to recap the story before we get into verse by verse. When Paul was in Ephesus, he apparently met Philemon, whose house the church, or at least a church, Colossae, meets, and possibly met Onesimus there as well. Onesimus probably at least knew Paul. Paul had since gone to Jerusalem, been arrested, appealed to Caesar, and was taken to Rome, where he was placed under house arrest, where he is at the time he writes this. Onesimus has apparently stolen from his master Philemon as he was running away. And somehow, he ended up in Rome. And he encountered Paul there, and has become a believer. And now, Paul was sending home to his master, with Tychicus, carrying letters to the church at Colossae, and for Philemon, and Ephesus. The two of them appear at Philemon's door with a letter from Paul. So keep that picture in mind as we look at verse 2. And verses 1 through 3 are the salutation. Typical for Paul. He says, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, to the church that meets in your homes. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul uses the term prisoner here, rather than an apostle of Christ, which starts most of his letters, including the letter to the Colossians and Ephesians. He is appealing as a friend rather than one of authority. He also mentions Timothy, our brother, as he does in Colossians, who is with him in Rome. He says, to Philemon, our dear friend. In the New American Standard, it says, our beloved brother and fellow worker. This indicates the close relationship between Paul and Philemon, and that Philemon was active, perhaps a leader, in the Colossian church. Also, he says, to Apphia, our sister. Believed by most commentators to be Philemon's wife. If so, she had the day-to-day responsibility for the slaves and servants, such as Onesimus. To Archippus, our fellow soldier, most commentators believe this is probably a son of Philemon's, but for sure he is a leader in the church. Colossians 4:17, we read, tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the work you have received from the Lord. Indicating that indeed he was a church leader. And to the church that meets at your home, like Philemon, as I mentioned, was apparently a fairly wealthy man to have a house large enough to host a church and to have slaves. But note that while this is a personal letter to Philemon, this matter with Onesimus was open to the church at large. Everyone knew about it, and but if they did, they still would. Refer back to Colossians 7. Now, Paul's greeting, very similar to all of his letters, he says, grace to you and peace from our God and Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul moves into the next part of the letter, starting from verse 4, 7. Paul's praise of Philemon and his prayer for Philemon. Paul, as he often does, prays the recipients of the letter. And as he often does, he starts off giving thanks. He says, I always thank God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing you have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Paul's prayer of thanksgiving to Philemon is similar to other prayers of thanksgiving. In fact, he opens all the letters like that except Galatians. Well, why is Paul thankful? He says, I always thank God as I remember you because I hear about, first of all, faith. Secondly, your love for all the saints. This is what it says, this because it's including Onesimus and all the saints. The term used for love here in verses 7 and 9 is the term agape, God's unconditional love. Verse 6, New International Version, American Standard Version, say that quite a bit differently, and it is difficult to translate, I understand. In the International Version, it says, I pray that you may be active in sharing the faith so that you will have a full understanding of everything good we have in Christ. The word koinonia is translated share in the International Version. In the New American Standard Version, it's translated fellowship, or it reads, and I pray that the fellowship of the faith may become effective in the knowledge of everything good. The idea seems to be that the more we understand or comprehend all Christ has done for us, the more we want to share him. The Bible Knowledge Commentary says, the more a believer comes to comprehend all he has in Christ, the more eager he is to share Christ with others. 7, Paul goes on to say that Philemon's love has given him great joy and encouragement because he, Philemon, has refreshed the hearts of the saints, literally the inward parts of the saints. Philemon is an encouragement to the saints. He gives them an emotional lift, a lift of the spirits, and he gives refreshment to weary, burdened saints. He needs some Philemon here today. Next section, Paul's petition to Philemon. That starts in verse 8. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man and now a prisoner of Christ Jesus, appeal to you for my son, who became my son while he was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and me. I am sending him back, he who is my very heart, to you. I would have liked to have kept him with me so he could take your place in helping me while I'm in chains in the gospel, for the gospel, but I did not want to do anything without your consent. With any favors you could will be spontaneous to come forward. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was so that you might have back to good. No longer as a slave, but better than a slave, your brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother of the Lord. So if you could depart, welcome him as you would welcome him. So Paul appeals to Philemon on the basis of love, agape, as an old man worthy of respect, as an elder, as one with wisdom and authority, a prisoner in Christ, suffering in Christ, who is unable to be there in person. Paul is not commanding, but appealing for his son, Onesimus. And notice this is the first mention of Onesimus' name. Paul fulfills it before with Philemon, before he mentions Onesimus. That might be a tender spot there. But Paul calls him his son, and Paul calls only a few people his son. He calls Timothy his son, and he calls Titus his son. This indicates both a close relationship, but also that Paul was no doubt his spiritual father, a bit of the Lord. So up to this point, as I said, Paul has been building rapport with Philemon. Now he wants to move on to persuade him, starting in verse 11. Paul contrasts the situation before, as in Onesimus is gone, with the opportunity at hand, Onesimus is back, using the play on words. Remember that Onesimus' name means useful. And Paul says he was useless. In other words, he went around, he went away. But now he was back, and back as a believer. So he is useful, both to Paul and to Philemon. Paul had no choice under Roman law, Paul was Roman citizen himself, but to send a runaway slave back to his own. But Paul says he is sending his heart with him. Paul loved him as a son, as a brother of Christ. Paul would have liked to have kept him, right? Because he's very helpful for him in prison. Paul was under house arrest. He had others with him, obviously. And Onesimus had been with him, had been helpful. And Paul would have liked to have kept him in a good place, going to Philemon himself would have liked to have been to help out Paul. But Paul doesn't want to be presumptuous. He doesn't want to assume that Philemon would allow this. Paul would want to keep him with him for that reason. If Paul wants any favor to be spontaneous, of course, to become Philemon's free will and not under any kind of compulsion. Paul knew that he had influence on Philemon. The next three verses, verses 15 to 17, are really key verses in Philemon. Verses 15 and 16, Paul says that there's a providential reason for separation. Onesimus went away for a little while so that Philemon might have that good and better. No longer as a slave, but as a brother in Christ. And perhaps here Paul is suggesting that Philemon free Onesimus, not spelled out. But he does say that Onesimus is dear to himself, and he will even be more so, more dear to Philemon, because he is there in the flesh, and now he's brother. Paul writes in Galatians 8:3-8. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And no doubt, verse 17, Paul writes out his appeal. He says, welcome Onesimus as you welcome me. The runaway slave like at least most could be severely punished or even killed. Paul has asked that Philemon forgive him, to reprieve him, not to punish him, possibly even to free him. Paul is going so far as to equate rejection of Onesimus as rejection of himself. And Paul reminds Philemon of their relationship, the dear brother, a partner, fellow worker. So Paul is putting himself in Onesimus' place. And he does so even more so in verse 18. So let's go on to that section. Paul's promise to Philemon, verses 18 through 22. Paul writes, if he has done anything wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this in my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one thing more, prepare a guest for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayer. So in verse 18, Paul says, charge me for any wrong, or for anything that Onesimus owes. As he said, Onesimus has apparently stolen from Philemon as he left. Pretty promising. Verse 19, Paul says, I will pay it back. Martin Luther comments on this verse, saying, even as Christ did for us with God the Father, thus Paul also does for Onesimus with Philemon. Paul is willing to assume the debt himself, as Christ took our debt of sin from upon himself. Paul then says, in his own writing, so this is legally binding, I will pay it back myself. But keep giving Philemon an IOU. Then almost as an aside, Paul says, not to mention that you owe me your very self. The New American Standard Version actually has in parentheses, it says, lest I should mention to you that you owe me your very self as well. Indicating that Paul had probably led Philemon to the Lord also. Paul again asks a favor, verse 20. He says, I do want the benefit from you and the Lord. Refresh my heart. Encourage me as you do others. Paul is mentioning verse 7. That's one thing that Philemon does well, to encourage others. Paul's asking Philemon to encourage him as he does others. And so what's he asking him to do? He's asking him to forgive, accept, and respect. And now Paul, extremely tactful, diplomatic, and expects the best brother Christ writes. Verse 21, confident of your obedience, and knowing that you'll do even more than I ask, that means that he's free, or perhaps even sent back to Paul. Verse 22, that Paul sort of seals it. It says, prepare a guest room for me, as I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Giving Philemon a bit more incentive to do as he's asked, Paul might show up on the doorstep as well. If he had handled the situation well, he'd have to answer to Paul. Again, Paul, what a negotiator. Just does a fabulous job at this. He's quite an advocate. And we do have advocates like this in Christ. At times we wish we had an advocate like Paul on some side. Well, how could you excuse Paul to excuse Philemon? Well, as we close that first chapter, we go on to verse 23. We'll come back and look at this in a moment. Verses 23 through 25, Paul writes, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ, sends you his greeting. So to Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ with your spirit. Verses 23 and 24, there are a list of those who are with Paul. They were free to come and go. Paul was chained to guards, but he could have company, obviously. And came to go. Probably they brought him food, probably to care of his needs, as the Romans probably did. But Paul mentions Epaphras, a fellow prisoner of Christ. If this is literal, perhaps not. But we know that he's a prayer warrior. Colossians 4:12-14, right? Epaphras, who is one of you, one of the Colossians, the servant of Christ Jesus, sends his greetings. He is always restless in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature, fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you, and for those at Laodicea, I am humbled. Paul also sends greetings from some other fellow workers, several of these you recognize. First of all, from Mark, because Barnabas, the author of the gospel that bears his name. But he was once rejected by Paul, if you'll recall, in Acts 15, that Mark is the cause of the split between Paul and Barnabas. They went their separate ways. But now, a few years later, 4 or 5, Mark is a valued fellow worker. Paul mentions Aristarchus, a fellow prisoner in Christ. He's also in Colossians 4:10. Aristarchus with Paul in Ephesus. Paul and last of all, he mentions Junius, a demon, who would later desert Paul because he loved the world, told such a Timothy. And well, lastly, he actually mentions Luke, Dr. Luke, both Mr. Luke, back, who had been with Paul for some time. Benediction, Paul gives, grace the Lord Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ be with you. That's the book. Let's tear it apart. So picture the scene. There's a knock on the door. Probably a servant opens the door, and there is Tychicus and Onesimus, the guy that ran away. There was a hush that fell over the room, anyone that saw this. But in their hand, there's a letter. The letter is called Beloved Paul. What do you think happened? Obviously, we don't know from the book here. It ends with that. It doesn't tell us what happened. What would you have done? You open the door, and there's your runaway slave. Maybe have hurt you bad by taking life. Well, we can only speculate. But since the letter was saved and recorded in the scriptures, I think we have to assume that Philemon received them and forgave Ephraim. Probably, I would think so. But according to Barclay's history, some 50 years later, this was at the turn of the first century, 100 AD or so, there was a bishop in Ephesus, not far away, by the name of Onesimus. So perhaps this is the same person. Perhaps Onesimus was freed. We don't know that, but that's quite possible. It's also interesting to note that Paul's letters, including Philemon, Jason, and Colossians, were first collected at Ephesus about 100 AD. So how does this apply to us? First and most importantly, not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you cannot love this kind of love. You cannot love as God loves. Because it takes God's Holy Spirit to love like others through us. So if you do not know Jesus, Jesus himself says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So if you do not know him, if you haven't accepted him, payment for your sins, you need to do so. And if this is your situation, love to talk to I, myself, any elder or deacon, love to talk to you about this. But believers, first of all, in verse 6, it has along the same lines, it's very interesting. It says, the more we understand or comprehend all the good things we have in Christ, the more eager we are to share him with others. Need to seek to know him better, and thus to share him more. Number 3, this is a real-life example of love and forgiveness. The acceptance of one has harmed a believer as an unbeliever, and now he's back. How do we respond to such a person? Well, Paul says, it's acceptance of brother. Before this is an example of a mature Christian treatment of a new believer. In this case, Paul risked his reputation work Christ has done in each of us' life. Are we willing to do that? This is a great example of Christian communication. Paul is straightforward, loving, he's diplomatic, he's encouraging. Most of all, he's believing in others and expecting them to obey and to do what is right. And lastly, this is Paul giving a brother what belongs to him. Paul didn't assume that he could use a dear brother's property, but he sent it back to him. He didn't assume that Philemon would free him. He encouraged him to do so, but he left that Philemon's hand. So Paul did not take advantage of a brother's generosity. Well, how about you? Are there some ways God can use these examples of Paul and Onesimus, Philemon, and his life? Is there an Onesimus in your life that he's supported, encouraged to do what is right, and has the freedom to do so? Or is there a Philemon that needs the courage and love to forgive once he has wronged? Or perhaps like Onesimus, you need to go back to someone in your life, make things right, perhaps before you leave. Let's think about these things and ask the Spirit to lay on your heart the response that God wants for you in this very short of your life. So that, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, Bible. We thank you for the many promises therein. We thank you for the examples of real life that you give us. Thank you for preserving this for us. We can look at the Apostle Paul, how he handled the difficult situation. Lord, we just thank you for all of your word and ask that you would make it alive to us. As we leave here today, Father, please keep these things in our hearts and minds. May we know what you would have us to do with your word, for the words. And just pray that you would change us to become all that you have. Thanks again for your salvation. Let us know Jesus, through him, we might have a right relationship. If we can indeed love others and be sure. We ask you to choose.